It's 23:30 Coordinated Universal Time. Stay tuned for the international rebroadcast of The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
The walled city of Presbyterian eunuchs.
Credit card billings will be interrupted.
They use the term newfie simply because they don't know any better.
Free speech? I'm being censored here on live radio.
Hello, Canada. Hello. Blessed Iceland. How's she going by Newfoundland? My name is Paul Moth. On today's show, Paris done as it has never been done before. The cartoon that is Newfoundland life, by right? And what to do about the year 2000 to do? All this for you, with me, on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. In late November, I paid a visit to the West African nation of Ugubamba. Alas, my tour was untimely ended by an unfortunate but instructive carpet bombing incident. I fled across the border into Burkina Faso, and from there I traveled incognito as far as Paris, and there I holed up, waiting until a ticket home could be arranged. Demoralized, suffering fatigue and disoriented by a persistent ringing in my ears, I still managed to rally, rig up the old microphone and recorder, and hit the streets. Here, then, are some vignettes from the banks of the Seine. I'm outside the Pension Africaine in the historic 183rd arrondissement. My destination, downtown Paris, France. And to be frank, I'm rather short on cash. So I think I'll just hoof it into the old city of lights. The scale on this map is right. It should be only about 28 kilometers. Well, we moths are known to be party perambulators, so off we go, mes amis.
Man, espresso viande coulée, la ta mère!
Oh, gentle Jesus. Well, at last, the steps of Montmartre. And there it is, Paris, the great plain of the city stretching out before me. A slate-gray sky hangs low overhead, and a chill December wind buffets me, or buffets me, as they say around here. How long have I dreamed of this moment, this grand descent down the majestic steps of Montmartre, into the movable feast of Flaubert, Hugo, Baudelaire, and Balzac. I love Paris in the winter. I love Paris. Here it is, the Eiffel Tower. Well, as monuments go, this is perhaps the most erect. I've always wanted to ascend this baby. The Eiffel Tower, of course, built to commemorate the great triumph of Napoleon at Waterloo.
C'est fermé, closed.
The Eiffel Tower closed. Why?
Lunch.
But there's a restaurant up there. You can't close for lunch.
Closed. 3 o'clock, open.
Oh, man. Well, can I stand underneath the tower here? Oh, God. I'm in the Museum of the Revolution, surrounded by artifacts still resonant with that rousing clarion call, Aux armes, les citoyens! Over here, grim reaper of the revolution, the very machinery of political madness, symbol and servant of terror, the guillotine.
How many made their way up these, their last steps? Victims of the political mayhem which they themselves unleashed. The Sun King, Marie Antoinette, Danton, Robespierre, Bellevaux, Leperrier, Noble, Commoner, Left Winger, Homme de Défense. It made no difference. They lay their uncomprehending heads here on this brutal, bloodied chopping block.
C'est bien, c'est bien. Journaliste. Radio, eh?
That's a nice sculpted dip. Head sideways, I suppose. One size fits all. Oh, well, it's strangely comfortable. I wonder what final thoughts crossed the minds of those titans of modernity as they lay here with their... I wonder what this is.
Oh, Jesus!
Well, it wasn't as close as all that. I had a second to spare. We'll go back to Paris a little later in the show.
It's dark outside again, so Iceland is hungover. Join me, Bjarni Gudmundsson, for Iceland Report in BCN, the nights of Sundays. That's it. Reykjavik of a Friday. Hey, what's going on? Oh, my God! Two, Vikings on Outer Space. They finally did it. That's also a reading show. Could it be another Nobel Prize of Iceland? Ho-ha! Watch out, Haldur! So, put your shoes on. There's something good in them. With me, Bjarni Gudmundsson, on Iceland Report, Sundays at 9 o'clock, here at BCN.
The millennium approaches and people everywhere are getting a little nutty. Among the most hysterical of the doomsayers are members of the computing community. They are in a state of febrile anxiety over something called the Year 2000 problem. To explain this so-called crisis, I have come to the offices of Blaine Hart, BCN's resident computer person. And Blaine's booting up his big machine now.
My title is systems manager.
Well, that's pretty lofty for a man who essentially runs a bunch of typing machines.
Word processing is only one function of our computers, Paul.
Oh, really? What else do they do?
Well, the payroll is automated. We've moved the security system and the ventilation to computer control.
Oh, yes, and didn't a simple keystroke error almost freeze-dry our night watchman, Spurge and Basto?
Spurge fell asleep under a vent. He lived.
If you can call that living. Anyway, we've come to your office to discuss this latest technological bung-up because I've gone offline.
Well, how is the old Underwood?
It is just great.
Really?
Okay, I'll admit I'd forgotten how hard one had to hit those keys. Still, I won't be facing the Year 2000 problem.
Granted.
Now, I've heard it explained many times, Blaine,
yeah,
but found that understanding it would have required listening. Please, now, with my full attention, enlighten me.
Okay, when most computer programs were first written, memory was at a premium. So to save space, programmers identified years using only the last two digits. So 1989 was 89 and so on.
These computer geniuses were certainly forward-looking men.
Come on, Paul.
I mean, who could foresee this problem happening? What, 20 whole years later?
The consequences are grave. The clocks will turn from 99 to zero so that if years were subtracted, you'd find yourself in a negative year.
Oh, I've had those. Come on now, though, Blaine. What can happen?
Credit card billings will be interrupted.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Cable television schedules could be disrupted.
How would you know?
It's serious. The world will wake up on January 1st, 2000 to a flashing 12, 12, 12, 12.
How to save us, Blaine?
Redevelop, replace, or renovate.
Yeah, well, my friend, I was one step ahead of you.
In what way?
While I was still hooked up to the computer network?
Yes.
Well, you know that thingy that comes up on the screen, BCN Systems Administrator?
Wait a second. I have a password.
Yeah, I know. Scotty.
How'd you get that?
Name of your dog. It's easy.
Oh,
I just went in there and I reset the clock to April 28th, 1967.
What?
It's a significant date in Canada's history. First day of Expo.
Idiot!
Well, a simple thank you might have been nice. Well, Blaine seems to have something more important to do in here.
God.
We leave him alone. Blaine Hart is our systems manager. If you want to get in touch with him, his email address is alt.bytes.biz.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN community announcements. Are you experienced? The ladies of the Hendrix Appreciation Society are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the release of Electric Ladyland. Lady Penelope Chesterfield Outerheimer delivers the inaugural talk in a month-long series Tuesday night at 7:30 in the Javelin Crescent United Church Hall. Her topic, not just a banger, the forgotten lyricism of Jimi Hendrix, guitar style. Personal reminiscences are encouraged. It's time once again for All Bob Bowling. If Bob's your name and bowling's your game, come out and bowl all day Friday for free. Venues are St. Matthew's, Festival Lanes, and Bowlaroo. Attendance for non-Bobs is $5 a frame, all proceeds going to the Knights Templar Hospice and Retreat in Buckens. Overflow parking at the Gummers adjacent to Furlong's Confections. All Bob Bowling. All Bobs bowl free. Vintage Appliances of Newfoundland is holding their monthly swap meet at the Star of Palestine Hall on Saturday. On the block this week, a 54 Frigimatic, a rarely seen Chippet gas toaster, a Duncan's Wedger, and a Krupp's Orbital Reamer. Vintage Appliances of Newfoundland, Saturday at noon. Those are some community announcements brought to you by BCN, serving Newfoundland for over 60 years.
Listen up. Shush that dog and hoof the cat out of the room. Crank up the volume. It's time for the most incredible game show on the long wave. What's that noise from Newfoundland? Consider this your invitation. Come play along. Quizmaster Hollis Duffett, let the crowd hear that thing.
$175.
That's it. That's the newest of all possible noises. Mail has been pouring in all week, so let's get a lucky entry out of the sack here. And it's from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and it's from James Klassen, and James writes, I think that the noise was a dock worker attempting to pull Paul out of the water with a fish scale after Paul was shoved off the dock by his new girlfriend. Apparently, his weight is 175 pounds. Well, that part is relatively flattering, the 175-pound part. And how about the guess, Hollis? No go? Nope, sorry, James. Not me being rescued, and I'll have you know, your scenario is totally fictional and bears no resemblance to fact. Hollis, before I give the address of the contest, please give the new noise another spin.
$175.
That would be it. If you're hot on the trail of what it is, send your guest to the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can email us at greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. This week, for the first time in ages, I had the pleasure of female company. Miss M and I broke bread together. And while it wasn't a resounding success, I hope we can try again sometime, I guess. So this song, commemorating a couple of recent events, is dedicated to you. Before more tape from Gay Paris, here are Les Négresses Vertes with I Love Paris.
Je balance un œil sur cette ville éternelle, bleu-gris, qu'importe le ciel. Quel que soit l'enthousiasme ou la couleur des larmes, de plus en plus je me rappelle. I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter when it drizzles. I love Paris in the summer when it sizzles. I love Paris every moment of the year. I love Paris
Now, I promised Jerome Granger, host of BCN's investigative show Wearing the Wire, that I'd pick up some items from the shop of Pierre Leroy, the famous camoufleur. 193 Rue La Différence. Here's 191. Here's 195. I can't see the... Oh, well, look at... Oh, that is so good. What an ingenious disguise for a doorway. And now I see the sign. Le Roi et Fils, Camouflagerie.
Bonjour. Bonjour, attention. Monsieur Le Roi.
Ah, there's a bell on the desk. Ring pour service.
Ouch!
Oh, whoa! Oh, sorry, I thought you were a bell, but you must be...
Pierre Leroy, camoufleur.
It's a great thrill to meet you, Monsieur Leroy. I've been a fan for forever. I wasn't aware, though, that you still held a hands-on interest in the business.
Well, I work the front desk and do an occasional favor for long-time clients. My son here has taken over.
Your son? Excuse me?
Bonjour!
Oh! Jean does a magnificent potted palm, don't you think?
Eh? It is very lifelike, yes. Now, Monsieur Leroy... Monsieur Leroy? Monsieur Leroy, your reputation as the world's greatest camoufleur brings me to you all the way from Newfoundland, Canada.
Ah, indeed. I do some work for your government.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What have you done?
I'm sworn to secrecy, but thank you for the compliment.
Of course. Now, you've been responsible for some of the greatest cover-ups of all time. You once disguised the Atlantic Ocean as the Pacific.
A piece of cake. But the next time that you visit the Hoover Dam, look very closely at it.
Well, what do you consider is your greatest achievement?
Unquestionably, my most fabulous feat was disguising Luxembourg as part of Germany for 3 days during World War II. The Boche missed it completely.
That's amazing.
Now, what can I do for you, monsieur?
Well, I'm buying some supplies for a colleague. I'd like to see some camouflage cloth, something woodsy.
We sell camo cloth by the bolt. How about this here?
It's too deciduous, really. Do you have anything in a spruce?
Well, spruce is very expensive, monsieur. 10,000 francs a bolt.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's a difficult effect to achieve, I suppose. The pine or the fir are much cheaper.
Do you have anything in a winter?
You are not a winter, monsieur. You are an autumn.
Well, it's for my friend.
Really. Well, of course, of course. I'm sure we can accommodate you. There's some old Russian front in the back. I'll give you a price.
Oh, that sounds very good. Gee, oh, I like the look of that. Office furniture.
Oh, well, why don't you try on this filing cabinet?
This could be a lot of fun around the office. Oh, well, it's a little snug. Do you have anything in a 44 tall?
No, you'll have to go to Le Gossam, the tall and big men's store. I don't do large work anymore.
Oh, I like this. It's a soda machine.
It's very popular in industrial espionage.
Do you have it in a Coke?
No, we only have Pepsi.
Of course. Anyway, I'm going to have to think about these suits, Monsieur Leroy, but I have a list of some items that I know I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need, let me see now. Give me a gallon of shadow paint, lampshade hat, mm-hmm. chair seat trousers, mm-hmm. it's a 34 waist, 28 inseam, a bag of holes, a smoke puff, and a door suit.
Oui, monsieur. I'll have my son prepare that order for you. Jean? Jean? Where did he go?
Oui, papa?
Oh, Jean.
Pierre et Jean Leroy of Leroy et Fils Camouflagerie, Paris, France. Thank you so much. Monsieur Leroy? Jean?
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
Yet more stink over words, and again, the regrettable term, newfie. The diminutive, and some would say racist term, appeared in a cartoon in the Globe and Mail, a weekly Upper Canadian business journal.
The Globe and Mail is a daily, Paul.
Hmm? Oh, too bad. Here to discuss the issue are Grant Young, editorial cartoonist for the St. John's Morning Telegraph.
Hello.
And Denny Porter, the notoriously vicious satiric doodler for the scurrilous, intermittently published scandal sheet, Shunt.
Hi.
Now, Denny, you make a living offending sensibilities and hurting people's mm-hmm. feelings. What's your take on the newfie noise?
I've got no problem with it at all. If the Globe and Mail wants to use the term nigger, that's fine with me.
No, the term was newfie.
Yeah. Kike, wog, whatever. What I'm most concerned about is the efforts are being made to censor fair comment.
I'm against censorship in any form, Paul, but I think in this case...
Come on, Grant, you can't be for and against it.
Let me finish, Denny. There have to be limits on any discourse.
Always.
Why?
Well, it's a sad reflection, really, on the reality that Toronto, while Canada's de facto cultural capital, remains a very provincial town.
It's a walled city of Presbyterian eunuchs. Their use of the term dago...
And newfie.
Towelhead, right. Their use of that term is rooted in fear.
But what are they afraid of?
Irrepressible sexuality of we others in their midst.
No, you're being far too analytical. They use the term newfie simply because they don't know any better. Now, if we took steps to educate the Globe and Mail...
All right, identify more terms of the glossary in your politically correct guidebook. Be free, man! Shout it for the rooftops! Pollock!
Denny.
Spick!
Stop it now.
Ching.
We're gonna get in trouble.
Jungle Bunny!
Newfie!
Cunt.
Now stop it.
He loves causing trouble.
That would explain his cartoon in response.
What is the problem with the cartoon, please?
Anthony Jenkins being led around on a leash by William Thorsell, who I understand is the paper's editor.
Listen, it is a well-known fact. Well,
that's it. Hollis, call the commissioner.
Free speech! Listen here, I'm being censored here on live radio.
One moment, please.
It's okay. As I mentioned to you last week, I am once again inclined towards amour. But I've learned how unfamiliar with the rules of the modern dating game I am. Having eschewed conjugal activity following a disastrous marriage and several... less than fulfilling relationships, I find that much has changed since last I was in the market. On Tuesday night last, I gave myself a scurrifunging. I lathered and slathered, buffed and deodorized, trimmed and sanitized myself. I had invited a lovely young woman of my acquaintance, no need to name names, but you know who you are, Miss M, to dine out. Nothing extravagant, the supper special for two at the Malabar Gate. You don't want to blow away your prospective love partner on your first engagement. There were probably portents galore of doom or failure that I missed in my coming-out-of-dormancy state, if I'd only known where to look. On the night, Shay's taxi was prompt, collecting me at 7, and the driver was familiar with my date's address. Hint number one. Pick up the date, and she sits up front with the cabbie. They chat all the way to the restaurant. The fare's on him. Hint number two. Anyway, arrive at 7:30. To begin, savory onion bhajis and the gate's fabulous cabbage surprise, followed by a wee juke of lentil soup and a dollop of chickpea salad. Then on to the main courses, a delightful butter chicken, the incendiary shank vindaloo, a double serving of Raja's famed eggplant cook-up, and roasted toasted garlic and chili stuffed butterfly leg of lamb, marinated in habanero sauce to give it that extra zing. Hint 3 came next. We ate every last morsel. I was ausgeblasen, as they say in Tutsing, blocked, crammed, jammed up, and jelly tight. Love, or even romance, was no longer on my mind. I was becoming tumescent in all the wrong places. I realized the gulab jamun and rice pudding desserts were a bad idea as we waddled down to Hava Java for a couple of dark roasts. It's a good thing neither of us smoke. Open flames were an invitation to disaster. Out onto the street we sailed then, hailed a hack, and surprise, surprise, we got the same driver. He must have been waiting for us. Hint number 4. And it was off to my place. The advent of a serious case of the scutters filled the cab with a bouquet that demanded all windows open. And that was the good part. Because it was off to my place, all right. To be dropped off by Miss M. No, she says, she wouldn't come in for an Ovaltine. No, she couldn't possibly come in and meet Mom. She has to get home to her own Mom, she says. No, that's okay, she'll get home on her own. No, don't worry about it, she'll pay the fare. Thanks, she says, she had a lovely evening. Again, she climbs into the front seat with the driver. My first real date in years, and the cabbie is the one who scores. I remember when a Coke, a smoke, and a puff bar would win you at least a little tongue. These days, even supper doesn't get you anywhere in the game of love. An early and relatively cheap lesson.
Eastern is blasted to you live via the power of coal-fired transmission from our studios in the Old Town. Our technical wizard is Hollis Duffett, and the director of radio is Ish Lundrigan. Adjust your web browser to www.greateastern.cbc.ca, and you'll find our homepage there with mucho info, sound, and pictures. The Great Eastern is rebroadcast every Saturday evening on Radio 2 of the CBC service and on the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.